Cindy Alderson, I bet she would have loved being part of a system like that. She had a pretty good upbringing with her old man back in the day, learning all the ropes, and it's certainly paying dividends at the moment because the Alderson stable is absolutely airborne. Good morning, Cindy. How are you?
Good morning, Maddie. Now, that's an ad-lib that I just like to alter the name.
Oh, you call me Maddie, it makes me very concerned.
I know. That was a little private joke with someone else, and I shouldn't have taken advantage of you in that situation, but I do often leave people's names as well, just in case they were bored with their first name.
Well, I will keep that in consideration, especially with Matty, when we next catch up.
Yes, we might be his name too.
He's been called a lot of different things over the years, as you know, Cindy, so it won't be anything new for Matty. What are you doing differently at the moment? The stable, all the horses are airborne.
When you have a good run. In fact, yesterday we were worming the horses and the vet was walking around and they all were getting excited. The ones that were getting wormed were running around their boxes and double barreling. He was asking me about the run. I said, it's the wormers. So, look, everyone, when you have a good run, people often wonder what you're doing differently. And really, we're not. We're not doing anything differently. It's just that we've got the right horses and they've landed in the right races at the right time of the year, and it's quite simply that's all it is, really.
Were you seeing this may be what could unfold with these horses coming through in the months prior?
Look, you're always hopeful, and you sort of try and pick the mark for your horses where you think they're going to most be competitive, because it's a very strong competition here in Victoria, and it doesn't matter where you travel to, it's pretty hard to find the right races. So as much as we all complain about the workload on everybody, and it is very, very taxing, by the way, the extra race meetings that are put on over the summer months with the horse population, you do tend to find those races that suit your horse, and you can get a win or a placing on the board, which, you know, helps the owners reinvest and stay invested in the industry of racing. So that's what we try and do. And I wouldn't be on my own, there'd be a number of trainers doing that. But sometimes the cards fall your way. The races pop up like they did for Loquero stepping from the 1500. There just happened to be a 2000 metre 3-year old 0-70 floating around there at Flemington with nothing much around it. And that's the time when you can sometimes find a race that suits your horse, which it was, and he was good enough to capitalise on it.
Oh, geez, a promising staying three-year-old, the son of Fiorente, and it was a gutsy win on Saturday. What do you do with him now?
Well, he's pretty lightly framed, so he's just actually gone to the water walker for a couple of weeks. There wasn't a lot left on offer for him after that win, so I decided that he could have a little break. He's been a revelation. He was someone I probably didn't think would get to that level as soon as he did. But his determination in his races and his ability to sustain a long gallop, even if it's not at the top speed of some of the other horses, is what generally gets him there in the end, you know.
Could you get him to a South Australian or a Queensland Derby?
I would think the South Australian Derby would suit him better. And you'd certainly give him a chance. I mean, the race that immediately springs to mind for him is the St Ledger there at Flemington, where he's already shown he's handled Flemington, you know, and only having his second start and racing wide and working from as far out as he did on Saturday and still being strong on the line and still going, I would think that, you know, 2,800 metres doesn't really pose any fears for him.
And when do we get to see your smart two-year-old Jigsaw, who was really good on debut at Geelong? Is he a diamond contender?
Well, I don't have a lot of those in my stable. I'm a little bit not unsure, but he's certainly everything he's done. And I must have had a feeling about him because it was only one horse that I did enter in the Blue Diamond, and he was the one. So he did give me a feeling early doors that he had something special. And he's, you know, his win the other day was really, really strong. And he's gone on from there. So I'm extremely happy with him. He looks great. He's eating really well. He's not giving me any cause for concern. I was just saying to Laura that looks after him when we were at the pool this morning, I wish the race was next weekend because he feels like he's ready to go, you know. But he'll probably have a trial on Monday and then he'll head to the Prelude over 1100. I think it's either the Prelude or the Preview, I'm not sure. It's one of those Blue Diamond races. And then hopefully he performs well enough to go into the Blue Diamond.
That's exciting. Can you keep the run going today, Cindy? You've got a couple of nice chances at Sandown. Knife's Edge, who a first-up winner impressively last start, goes to race number three.
Yeah, look, he's generally speaking, his best form's been his first run. So you'd have to have a little bit of a dip for him today. But, I mean, if he was to, even though he only won by a small margin there at Cranbourne, I think the win had more merit in it than that. And he's certainly come back a better horse this preparation. He's always run well at Sandown, and he gets the advantage of Mark Zara after Jai McNeil got a holiday, who won on him at Cranbourne. So hopefully Mark, with all his skill set and wiliness, can get him across the line, because he does take a little bit of riding towards the end of his races.
And then you've got La Zola, who goes around in race number six and was a good run two starts ago, not far away at the Valley. What happened at Stony Creek?
Well, I'm putting it down to the fact that it's a funny little track, Stony Creek, and they do run down a hill and around a sharp bend, and he just never really seemed to get down it or travel, you know. So I'm hopeful, because I mean, she looked the winner on form going into that race, and it was quite a disappointing effort, so I'm hopeful that today, with a flatter surface, she's going to be more... I mean, I know there's still a slight downhill run there, but it's not as severe as Stony Creek. And I'm hopeful that she can bring her A game, certainly the inside draw. And Declan Bates has, you know, only had two rides on her for a win and a nice fourth at Moonee Valley. So if she brings her A game, she'll definitely be in the race, but she has shown herself to be a little bit inconsistent. So got to take her a little bit on trust.
All right, so is... The runner in race three, Knife's Edge, the one we should be backing today?
That would be my selection.
Okay, very good. Anything else throughout the week?
I haven't got much, really. I've got Metung Marvin, who's going to run a nice race on Thursday night, I believe. So he's coming along well. They're all sort of... And then the rest of them are probably heading towards... Queen Adele will probably go to Mornington. So those two have probably got good each-way chances, but the whole team is going really well. Staff and everyone are working, you know, really hard behind the scenes. We put in a lot of effort during COVID, so it's good to see the results coming for the staff that have worked so hard, and also for the owners that have supported me through this time.
Absolutely, Cindy, and best of luck today as well.
Thank you, Michael.